Friday, or maybe second hour Saturday where you are. And as promised, Father Wade Menezes is our guest this hour. You know Father from his many, many and regular appearances on the EWTN Global Radio, Catholic Radio Network, and the EWTN Eternal Word Television Network. And maybe you know him from his preaching. And if you do, I think you are very blessed because he's one of the great preachers of our time. Father Wade Menezes, thanks for being here with us.
Hey, Si, it's great to be with all of you.
Now, your order, preaching is kind of a key charism of your order, isn't that right?
That's right. We were founded in 1808, the Fathers of Mercy, in the immediate aftermath of the French Revolution, in an effort to preach throughout France, in an effort to bring the people back to practicing their Catholic faith, following the havoc and destruction that the French Revolution blew to the faith there. And we came to the United States in 1839, a couple decades later, and we've been here ever since. And our generalate house is in Auburn, Kentucky, and just about 55 miles north of Nashville, Tennessee. And we're itinerant traveling missionary preachers. We travel throughout the United States and Canada and Australia, apart from some COVID restrictions that are still in place, and preach the week-long parish mission, and also weekend retreats, day-long retreats. So it could be anything, Si, from the week-long parish mission to father-son retreats, mother-daughter retreats, engagement encounter retreats. I like to joke that my widow and widower retreats are soon followed by marriage retreats. Huh? So
that's good.
You never know what God has planned.
I'm glad to hear that. That's a successful retreat. If you lead people to that, but I imagine that's, because you're devoted to preaching as well, I just love it when, I get to hear you preach. It's so not above my head, but as clear as a bell and inspiring. Father, I love your preaching. And now we got a new book from you, Catholic Essentials: A Guide to Understanding Key Church Teachings. I heard you had a couple of reasons for writing this book. What's maybe the twofold reason for putting this book together?
Sure, great question. You know, there's a practical reason. First of all, is the popularity of the interstitials that I did for EWTN, which are short segments which air on EWTN television at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour. And I got asked a lot by people to put those in book form. So, for example, I did 65 interstitial episodes of The Crux of the Matter, which is quite popular on EWTN, 13 episodes of another interstitial series called The Wonders of His Mercy, and then 7 interstitial episodes in preparation for the 3-year Eucharistic revival called for by the USCCB, titled collectively the 7 episodes In Defense of the Eucharist. So I put all these together and then added some more on some certain topics that I believe needed to be addressed in a catechetical primer, which I like to call this book, and put it all together in written form. And, you know, I want to thank you for your compliment about my preaching. I've had a lot of people say, Si, that Father Wade, your books are like how you speak. So
yes.
I take that as a compliment in regards to the clarity and right to the point and the need to defend the beauty of the truth, right? You know, truth is something that speaks for itself. It takes care of itself. And I wanted this book, Catholic Essentials, Si, to be what I affectionately call the 1-2 punch of the why of the church's teaching, the W-H-Y, quote, end quote, right? So here's the thing. A lot of people know what the Catholic Church teaches, whether they be Catholic themselves, fervent or lukewarm, whether they be non-Catholic Christians, like our mainline Protestant brothers and sisters. Everybody seems to know what the church teaches, right? Even our non-Christian brothers and sisters, like our Muslim brothers and sisters, will tell you that the Catholic Church, for example, is against abortion. But very few, Catholics included, can articulate the why. So I wanted Catholic Essentials, A Guide to Understanding Key Church Teachings, my latest book, my third book, to be the 1-2 punch as to the why. And I'm glad to say that there's 81 chapters. No one chapter, Si, is over 4.5 pages. So they're short, curt, to the point. Each chapter, each one of the 81 chapters kicks off with a scripture quote and a quote from a church father or a church document, a magisterial document. And I want to convey the beauty of the truth. And these 81 chapters come from 5 parent categories: dogma, morals, ecclesiology, the study of the church, sacraments, and liturgy. And collectively, I like to call it Catholic Essentials. And it's my hope that RCIA Yes. Teachers, directors of religious ed will get this book for their catechumens. But again, each chapter is short. They could go through a couple per week. Catholic high schools, especially juniors and seniors, that within a year or two will be going out into the workforce or to college to better defend and know and love even more their Catholic faith. And also public high schoolers, especially juniors and seniors, who go to their parish church for their weekly CCD, say on a Wednesday night, for example, that even the public high schoolers will get this book as well. And then it's just good catechesis for anyone, single, married, or a consecrated religious.
It is indeed. And one of the, I think one of your talents, Father, is helping with that sense of clarity gives many people, including myself, the sense that the Catholic faith is for normal people. It's not just for St. Therese of Lisieux, you know, like we can. So right. I get the sense.
Are you saying St. Therese was not normal?
Well, maybe above normal, super normal, maybe. I know. But my sense is that a lot of your work, and this book included, is meant to help people get that Catholic faith from the background up into the foreground of their living.
That's exactly right. And some of the chapters illustrate that as far as the quote, living, end quote, that you just mentioned. So I'll just comb through briefly some of the titles of the 81 chapters that are peppered along these five parent categories, again, of morals, dogma, ecclesiology, sacraments, and liturgy. So the importance of a rightly formed conscience, especially during voting time, huh? How about the importance of making an annual spiritual retreat, whether single, married, or a consecrated religious, huh? How about the difference between mortal sin and venial sin? The theology of the body. Why is it wrong for a man and woman to live together before marriage, for example, right? How about the seven capital sins and their opposite corresponding capital virtues? We're quick to mention the seven capital sins, but we're more hesitant to remember that there are seven capital virtues, and those are the ones God wants us to focus on, right? How about the harmony of faith and reason, the human soul and its immortality, God's mercy and the end times, the Antichrist, the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, superstition. How about the baptismal priesthood versus the ministerial priesthood? How is it that the priest is able to say at Mass, at the words of offertory, right after the offertory, but still part of the offertory rite, pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. When a priest, quote, end quote, is the only person that can offer a sacrifice, how am I, a ministerially ordained priest with the sacrament of holy orders, able to give that line to a bunch of laity sitting in the pews? Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours, laity, may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. It's because of their baptismal priesthood, right? How about the doctrine of transubstantiation? That needs to be rekindled in our heart, especially during this three-year Eucharistic revival from June 2022, Corpus Christi, through June 2025, Corpus Christi. Worship and veneration and how they differ. The proper placement of the tabernacle inside a church. How about that one, huh? Sometimes we see our Lord's tabernacle housing his real presence in the middle. Sometimes we see it off to the side. Why is that? Well, it has to do with the architecture of the church and the age of the church and the high traffic volume of the church. The church is very clear in her hierarchy of preference there. And also the benefits of making a frequent confession, which I like to say, Cy, in today's day and age, 2022, boy, yeah. Monthly confession, man. Go monthly. It's that important. There's too many temptations out there for men and for women. And we need a good, holy, reverent confession. And chances are, get this, chances are if one goes faithfully once a month to confession, for example, in honor of the First Friday devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, or in honor of the First Saturday devotion in honor of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, if somebody goes faithfully once a month, just 12 times a year, that's it, 12 times out of 365 days, chances are they will only have venial sins to confess, no mortal sins. Why is that? I'll tell you why. It's precisely the holy practice of monthly confession that is per se keeping one away from mortal sin. And that's an awesome thing right there.
And it's not so hard to do. It's really not so hard to do.
No, it's not.
No. Well, Father, you dedicated the book to three different groups. There's one in particular I want to ask you about, but will you say something about why you dedicated the book to three different groups?
Yeah, great question. Here's how the dedication reads. For all who practice their Catholic faith with great fervor, for the lukewarm, And for those who have abandoned it, may you soon return. So the fervent, or those with fervor, the lukewarm that are kind of tepid, which is a large majority, I think, either wittingly or unwittingly, and those who have abandoned it completely, maybe with willful intent, maybe not with willful intent, may they soon return. Why those three categories of individual side? Because the book has something for everyone, precisely as a catechetical primer that's short and to the point. You know, one of the categories that I talk about the most amongst the 81 chapters is the mercy of God. And I want that to stand out, that reality to stand out, especially to the lukewarm and those who have abandoned their Catholic faith. These are some of the titles on mercy. Mercy requires acknowledging sin. Mercy calls us to be other-centered. Mercy towards others, some concrete actions we can do. Number four, the 14 works of mercy. Mercy is who God is. The mercy of a very personal God. God offers mercy before justice. God's mercy and the end times. The church has the right and the duty to call upon the mercy of God. And confession and the gift of God's mercy. So dovetailing those 10 chapters of 81, so basically 1/8 of the book is on the mercy of God in these short chapters. I want that theme of mercy side to really resonate with the lukewarm and resonate with those who have abandoned their Catholic faith, again, wittingly or unwittingly.
Yeah, this is the thing, and this is what I wanted to ask you about the group that have abandoned their faith, because I think this is one of the most common things, and I'm sure this is true in your life, and when people ask us to pray for them, is my children have fallen away from the faith. I just pray every day that my adult children will come back to the faith. And I always like to have, those books that I can suggest to parents, because I believe in the leaving the book around and let the kid find it and pick it up, whether it's a teenager or someone in their 20s. And I thought that strategy of focusing so much on mercy is a very, very good strategy. That's more likely to me than explaining a lot of doctrine, explaining the loving mercy of God for each soul.
That's exactly right. That was my purposeful, I might add, my purposeful intent. And I'm glad you sensed that from the book itself, having looked at the book yourself. And, mercy is important. You know how I like to sum up mercy, Si, is like this. And I say this at my parish missions. Mercy is who God is. It's love's second name. God is more interested in our future than in our past. He's more interested in the kind of person we can yet become than in the kind of person we used to be. While indeed taking our sin seriously, no doubt, whether mortal or venial, here's the thing. God never, ever, ever takes those sins as the last word. Why? Because he knows he's made us in his image and likeness. He knows he calls us constantly to a life of his sanctifying grace, and he knows he is our God who is bigger than any sin we might ever commit, even the most hideous and wicked mortal sin. God is bigger than that sin, and his mercy is bigger than that sin. And I can't stress this definition of mercy enough. And John Paul II hints at that definition in different wording. In his encyclical Divus in Misericordia, rich in mercy, about the mercy of God, which is very dear to us Fathers of Mercy. For those watching our live YouTube feed, the Fathers of Mercy badge, our blue and gold badge, is depicting the return of the prodigal son out of Luke chapter 15, the father embracing the prodigal son. And so this is huge for us Fathers of Mercy, this whole theme of mercy, and that can't be stressed enough. And going back to really in part to your first question, the two reasons why I wrote the book, I want people to know that above all of the doctrine is the mercy of God, a mercy who constantly beckons and calls the individual. And that's very, very important. You know, Cy, we live in very, very confusing times. And people ask me, Father Wade, why are the times so confusing? And I like to sum it up thus. I could give you a whole hour just on these five characters that I'm about to mention. But I think these five characters sum up well where we've gotten today in the crisis of faith and in the crisis of culture. Jean-Paul Sartre, the French philosopher, he emphasized human freedom, but denied human morality. Sigmund Freud stressed human instinct, but he suppressed the reality of the spiritual for humanity. Friedrich Nietzsche glorified the individual, but disdained or hated the community. Karl Marx did the opposite. He celebrated the community, but rejected the individual, right? And Charles Darwin was enamored with empirical science, and in rightly so, I might add, but yet he excluded metaphysics. That's where he went wrong. So this is why we've gotten to the place we are today, 22 years into the third millennium. And what you said about parents wondering why their 20-somethings and older or late teens and older have abandoned the faith, Cy, I kid you not, brother, on our Blessed Mother's mantle, that is the number one thing I hear from 40-somethings and older who attend my parish missions. Father, my daughter has left the church. Father, my son has left the church. Father, he's in his teens, or he's in his 20s, or he's in his 30s with three kids. And he and his wife, my daughter-in-law, and their four kids, all six of them have left the faith. And this is a crisis of faith, and it's a crisis of culture. But yet, God loves us so much, Cy, that mercy reigns supreme, and that cannot be forgotten when reading this book.
Father Wade Menezes is our guest. He's got a brand new book out, Catholic Essentials, A Guide to Understanding Key Church Teachings. More conversation with Father Wade when we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you prepared to vote?
Catholics must form their consciences by church teaching. It is not a matter of personal decision about what is good or evil, but upon the objective moral order willed by God, binding on human beings, and known through reason and divine revelation.
Be prepared to vote your faith this November. Visit EWTN.com/vote for everything Catholic voters need to know before picking up a ballot.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Wade Menezes is our guest, and I know there are many people that want to talk with Father Wade, so we will get to your calls shortly. The number is 888-318-7884. Whether you're Catholic or not, if you have a question for Father, we would love to take your question, 888-318-7884. But I got a couple more things that I want to ask, because you have a prayer thing at the end of in the appendixes of the book. It's selected prayers.
Yeah, that's right.
You're moving from the head to the heart there at the end of the book. What's up with the selected prayers?
Yeah, that's actually a great way of putting it. You know, it kind of dovetails back to the three groups that I wrote the book for. You know, I wrote it for the fervent, so they can become even more fervent and great apologists. The lukewarm, I've written it for, so that they can become fervent. And the fallen aways, so that they will come back to the faith. Right. Well, we can't forget the prayer then. It's not just intellectual. It's not just reason. It's also faith. And this is where the prayer comes in, right? It's, you know, very few points of doctrine in the Catholic Church, as you know, Cy, are either or. Most of them are both and, right? Yeah. And so it's the reason, the intellectual aspect of the book, as well as the spiritual, prayerful aspect of the book. So I've kind of developed a little tradition for myself. You know, Catholic Essentials is my third book that came out this year in 2022, just a couple months ago. But in 2020, I put out Overcoming the Evil Within, the reality of sin and the transforming power of God's grace and mercy, where I open up with the savage murder of 11-year-old St. Maria Goretti by 20-year-old lust addict Alessandro Serinelli, who later had a wonderful and tremendous conversion. So again, overcoming the evil within, which Alessandro suffered from, the reality of sin, but the transforming power of God's grace and mercy. And my first book from 2017 is The Four Last Things, A Catechetical Guide to Death, Judgment, Heaven, and Hell, a little catechetical primer on the church's eschatology from the Greek word eschaton, which means the last things. And the Catholic Church teaches in her eschatology the study of the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, three of which will apply to each one of us personally. That is death, judgment, heaven, or hell. Well, in the first two books, The Four Last Things and Overcoming the Evil Within, I put an appendix of prayers precisely for the reason of prayerful faith and to help balance with the doctrine. And so I've decided to do the same thing with this catechetical primer titled Catholic Essentials. And I've included the act of faith, the act of hope, and the act of charity, of the three theological virtue prayers, the act of contrition, for confession, of course, the memorare, the subtuum praesidium in honor of the Blessed Mother, the oldest known prayer in honor of the Blessed Virgin, the litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and the litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the litany of Saint Joseph I included this time around in Catholic Essentials, especially having celebrated recently the year of Saint Joseph. And I've included the new titles that Pope Francis has universally promulgated in the litany of the Blessed Virgin, that is Mother of Mercy, Mother of Hope, and Solace of Migrants. And the seven new titles of Saint Joseph for his litany are included in the book as well. Those seven new titles from Pope Francis are Guardian of the Redeemer, Servant of Christ, Minister of Salvation, Support in Difficulties, Patron of Exiles, Patron of the Afflicted, and Patron of the Poor. Seven awesome titles for St. Joseph and three new awesome titles for the Blessed Mother. So I think we need to balance the intellectual aspect of my three books with the prayerful aspect. And these are basic Catholic prayers that every Catholic should know that they can pray while they're getting their exercise in, while they're getting their walk in, or praying with the family, the father leading or the mother leading, or having the teenagers lead, or even the children lead over the age of reason. When we pray the chaplet of Divine Mercy at night as a family, or when we pray five decades of the rosary at night as a family. And for families with small children, I like to recommend one night rosary, one night chaplet, one night rosary, one night chaplet, because these are two staple prayers of the church, these two staple beaded prayers. And your children will grow up knowing both of them by alternating them if your children are small. And by the way, the children really love the chaplet night, Si, because they're a little shorter than the five-decade rosary.
Chaplet night, yay! The book is
chaplet
called
night, exactly.
Catholic Essentials, A Guide to Understanding Key Church Teachings. It's published by EWTN Press. You can get it where, Father?
They can get it at EWTNRC.com. Easy to remember, Roman Catholic or Religious Catalog, those initials, EWTNRC.com.
Lots of folks on the phones with questions for you, Father. I think I'll head to the phones if that's all right with you.
Sure, you bet.
All right, let's go to Oregon. Joseph in Oregon watching on YouTube. You are first. Joseph, go ahead with your question for Father Wade Menezes.
Hey, thanks, and love the show.
Oh, thank you.
I read a book that Jesus was just one of many messianic prophets of his time, so he wasn't unique. Also, that St. Paul and the apostles just distorted his message, and that Christianity only spread because of Constantine. Like, if Constantine was Zoroastrian, we would all be Zoroastrian today. How would you respond to that?
Well, Jesus identified himself as one with the Father in the Holy Spirit, and this is revealed in the four Gospels, which are the only four books of all of the books of sacred scripture in the canon where we have Jesus' own words. And so we also know about his cures, for example. These other prophets that you mentioned didn't have this track record. And also we have the magisterial teaching of the church. You know, one of the reasons, Joseph, why I put the three theological prayers in the back of the book, the act of faith, hope, and charity. Remember the words of the act of faith, because you, O God, are a God who can neither deceive nor be deceived. Okay? And that's important to remember when contemplating these questions that you're asking. So, you know, we believe that Catholicism is not a religion, quote, just of the book. That line's right out of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We have a sacred tradition as well, and the magisterium, from the Latin word magister, which means teacher. So we have sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the magisterium of the church. So we not only have it from scripture of Jesus saying who he was indeed, as the second person of the Trinity made incarnate for us, perfect God, perfect man, like us in all ways but sin, assuming what he did not have and remaining what he was. That's a famous line from several of the church fathers in regards to the sacred incarnation. What he was, he remained God. What he was not, he assumed, he took on human nature. And we have his one divine personage, okay, the second person of the Trinity specifically, the Word, the Logos, the Son incarnate, with two natures, human and divine. And we call this the doctrine of the hypostatic union. So we have all these proofs. Great question.
Catholic Answers Live.
The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life, but only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whyweareprolife.com.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Want to share your love for the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist?
Join us tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
On most of these EWTN stations. Now back to more of Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Kind of hogging Father Wade Menezes all to myself because I just really enjoy talking with him. And Friday is a good opportunity for us to have a good conversation about his new book, Catholic Essentials, A Guide to Understanding Key Church Teachings, available now from EWTN Publishing. And I hope you will get it. And the holidays are coming up and the kids are coming home from college and whatnot. This would be a good one to have around. Maybe you've got that strategy. I like to employ that strategy of just having things around that they might pick up and then we can have a conversation about it. If you'd like to talk with Father Wade Menezes, you are very welcome to call here, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Still more folks on the line for you, Father. Shall we go back to the phones?
You bet. I'd like to say one thing, Cy, that I think is important. Sure. About re-evangelizing or evangelizing fallen away loved ones who have left the faith. remember, I think it's important so we don't get too depressed, those of us who practice the faith. I'd like to tell moms and dads, for example, who are 40 and older, who are lamenting the fact that their teenager up to whatever age has left the faith, I say, look, you're not your child's savior. Jesus Christ is their savior. But you are your child's evangelizer, and you are your child's prayer warrior. But leave the saving to Jesus. Prayer and sacrifice for your child, your loved one, and do the little things, Si, like you've already mentioned a couple of them. Leave the book lying around, an examination of conscience lie around, whatever. Invite them to Mass. Invite them to go to confession when you yourself go to confession each month. And it could be a beautiful silent witness. But don't think you're the savior, because when you don't see results, then you're going to get depressed. Yeah. But if you admit up front that you're not the savior, that you're only an evangelizer and a prayer warrior, then you're bound to make more strides.
Father Wade Menezes, our guest, the number 888-318-7884. The book is called Catholic Essentials, A Guide to Understanding Key Church Teachings. Next, we go to Hastings, Michigan. Aaron is in Hastings, Michigan, watching on YouTube. Aaron, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Father Wade Menezes.
Hi, Father. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Aaron. Thank you.
I'm doing good. I'm actually one of those Catholics that's fallen away over this issue because nobody can explain to me in a way that makes sense to me. And I don't know if it's just my upbringing or what, or my education or what. But I was actually wondering, how is it that we can believe in evolution and still be Catholic?
Well, you can believe in evolution, provided you hold some major tenets as taught by Pope Pius the 12th in regards to evolution, okay? So it's not just across the board believing in evolution and then you're a Catholic. That's not the question here. The question is, it's a both and, not an either or, okay? So for example, can one hold the theory of evolution as a Christian? And in Humani Generis, Aaron, from 1950, Pope Pius XII said, yes, if one simultaneously holds the following five principles, okay? So I hope, my brother, that this will help you to understand exactly what the answer is to what you're asking me, and hopefully inspire you to return back to the sacraments, especially those two of the seven that can be received over and over and over again with much frequency, Holy Confession and Holy Eucharist. But anyway, yes, you can believe in the theory. Notice I said theory of evolution. I didn't say you could believe in evolution. You can believe in the theory of evolution as a Christian if you hold these five tenets as taught by Pius XII simultaneously, all five of them at the same time. Number one, there is and can only be one set of first parents. In other words, no polygenism. Right? Because otherwise, if you have more than one set of first parents, you're going to have part of the human race that has original sin and the other part that doesn't have the original sin, if only one set of first parents sinned with the original sin, right? So you have to hold one set of first parents. Number two, you have to hold that the soul is created immediately by God. Number three, if there are evolutionary processes or processes, they have happened only within God's providential design and not by random chance or by purposeless development. In other words, God's design in all things, Aaron, does have purposeful meaning and reason behind it. Okay, and number four, if one does hold evolutionary theory, one holds just that, a theory, okay, and not as fact, because it is not yet proven as fact, okay? And number five, if you adhere to evolutionary theory, you are thus bound to familiarize yourself simultaneously with the arguments against it as well. And that's a very, very good one that Pius XII put in Humani Generis. Aaron, if you write the Fathers of Mercy at our general contact us link at our website, fathersofmercy.com, and just address it to me that you'd like a copy of this synopsis of the five principles we have to hold if we hold as Christians evolutionary theory, I will gladly email you a copy of it. But I want you even more to do that. I want you to not only get Catholic Essentials, which I'm holding up right now to the YouTube live feed here and the Facebook live feed, but I'd like you also, if you can, to read Humani Generis, the document from Pius XII, Pope Pius XII, that actually gives us these 5 points that we have to hold to. Does that help you out a little bit, Aaron?
Oh, a lot more. Thank you.
Oh, hey, you bet, Aaron. My brother. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Anytime you're looking for a Vatican document such as or a document from a pope in particular, it's very easy. The Vatican has a website that makes them available to you. So Humani Generis should not be very difficult to find. And please do write the fathers so that you can receive more help with that problem that's been an obstacle for you, Aaron. Thanks again for the call. Father Wade Menezes is our guest. We're talking about his brand new book on all these things that we love to talk about so much here at Catholic Answers Live, those basic things of the faith like liturgy and morals and doctrines and, the mercy of God. And it's all available in the new book called Catholic Essentials, A Guide to Understanding Key Church Teachings. Up next, we go to Florida. Mary in Florida, go ahead with your question for Father.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm 9 weeks pregnant.
And, congratulations.
I've had three. I've had three ultrasounds and a heartbeat has not been detected.
Oh.
So the doctor said that my body will naturally miscarriage. And she gave me the option of like a pill, I forgot the name of it, or third option, surgically removing. And my question is, does the baby or have a soul? Like, I know, like, we always, as Catholics, we always talk about, you know, life begins at conception. And then we, you know, follow that up with the heartbeat at 6 weeks. So.
Sure. Great, great question, Aaron, and thank you so much. And, you know, your question is a question that on Open Line Tuesday, my weekly radio show on EWTN Global Catholic Radio, Tuesdays at 2 o'clock Central Standard Time, I call such questions, Aaron, a witness question. You're asking a beautiful witness question because so many other moms and dads who are expecting, who may not carry their child to full term, are going to benefit from you asking the question and me providing the answer. First of all, I think it's extremely important for me to share with you a wonderful website called Heaven's Gain. That's Heaven with an S, Heaven's Gain, G-A-I-N, all one word, all lowercase, heavensgain.org. It's a website that covers the hard-hitting questions regarding miscarriages and stillborn babies when they're more fully formed. This organization will even help you if you choose to bury your baby because it's well formed and you want to actually have a burial for it. They have the little coffins available for it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful organization. And their website just has all kinds of helpful aids to parents that are experiencing what you're experiencing. Again, heavensgain.org. To answer your question, yes. The soul, as I mentioned to Aaron and our previous caller who was asking about evolutionary theory and whether or not we Catholic Christians can believe in it as a theory, we can, provided those 5 principles are held. One of those 5 principles is that God infuses the soul immediately upon creation of the individual human being, sperm meeting ovum, the church would hold, that the soul is infused immediately. It's not a potential human being. It is rather a human being with potential, okay? And that's what we got to get in our minds. This is the argument against abortion right there, right? Is that it's not a potential human being. It is a human being with potential because everything is there, the DNA makeup, the body-soul composite. We don't have bodies. We are bodies. We don't have souls. We are souls. These are teachings from St. Thomas Aquinas. And even the baby in utero has those principles about him or her. And so, yes, the soul is infused immediately by God. And it sounds like, how far along are you, Marian, if I might ask? I think you said it in your question.
Yep, 9 weeks.
9 weeks, okay. Okay. Yeah, I would look at heavensgain.org and see what your different options are in regards to possibly burying the baby, especially if it is surgically removed. Now, if the doctors have ascertained that, and hopefully you'll have at least two, if not three, professional opinions on that, if they say that it has indeed died in utero for whatever reason, I would take the least invasive way to let it naturally exit your bodily system. Now, there are helps to that the church says you can use, such as different types of medications, or to go and have it surgically removed. So your choices are there. I would get at least two, if not three, professional opinions, medical opinions, that indeed there's no heartbeat found, and then ask what those options are. I'm not 100% familiar on what some of those are. I know some of them from doing my own research on this particular topic, but it seems like the technology is always changing. So you want the latest of the information on this important topic. And if you're able to bury the baby, I would bury it, even if it's in a little columbarium, in a columbarium that holds urns, a very small depository. You know, a lot of parish grounds now, while they don't have a cemetery per se tied to the parish for a full body burial, many parishes now are putting in above ground columbariums that hold the ashes in the urn of the cremated loved one. And that's something you might want to think about too. Since it is a baby, you might want a smaller depository for it. This is if you do decide to bury it. There's also science that's very noble, that you may will to give the body to at 9 weeks. That's considered very heroic as well, because whatever your baby naturally passed from could be an aid to science to help discover further how this can be stopped in regards to the same issue that other women are experiencing. So there's that option as well. This is what I mean when I say go to heavensgain.org and find out more about what those options are, but they're plentiful, and the Holy Mother Church is always there to support you. Thank you so much, Marion, for a very moving witness call. Again, what I like to call a witness call. And we thank you for your time this evening and calling into Catholic Answers Live. God bless.
God bless you, Mary. Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
There's
only one. Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
My life is split between the search for the supernatural and the retelling of the credible and verifiable accounts of true instances of miracles. I think that people are inspired hearing these stories, and it bolsters people's faith to spend even just a few moments with the miraculous.
The Miracle Hunter with Michael O'Neill, Saturday afternoon, 1 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Father Wade Menezes is our guest. You know him from his many appearances on EWTN radio and television. Maybe you've gotten the opportunity to hear him preach sometimes on EWTN radio or television. You'll hear or see a mass that he is celebrating. It's always a great privilege, I think. That's my view anyway, to get to hear Father Wade preach. And he's got a brand new book out called Catholic Essentials: A Guide to Understanding Key Church Teachings. And that is the book we are talking about this hour. Let's go. We got a lot of people on the line, man. Wow. I think every line is full now. Pete in Idaho, go ahead with your question for Father Wade.
Yeah, thank you. My question is, can Protestants be saved given that they never go to confession?
Well, your question is answered in Lumen Gentium, the Dogmatic Constitution on the Church document from the Second Vatican Council, paragraphs 12 through 14. And not only that, Pete, but we pray every Good Friday during the Passion Service for our non-Catholic Christian brothers and sisters, and we pray for their salvation. So through, for example, no fault of their own, not knowing the fullness of truth in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, it is possible for them to be saved. Even the non-Christian who through no fault of their own does not know the fullness of truth of Christianity, the reality of the Paschal mystery, for example, the passion, death, resurrection of our Lord, the reality of the sacraments and whatnot. So, yes, and I would urge you to read it. It's a more fuller answer and a very beautiful answer in regards to what we're bound to once we do know. But for those who do not know, there still is a possibility for salvation, and the Church teaches this. You know, before Vatican II, it was phrased in the negative, meaning, that's a philosophical term there, it was phrased in the negative, outside the Church there is no salvation. But Vatican II phrased it in the positive and says, where there is salvation, there is the Catholic Church. And then she goes on to give the definitions between invisible membership and visible membership. So, for example, Cy and I are visible members of the Church. You know, we're active Catholics. We've received the sacraments of initiation, which makes us fully a member of the Church. The three sacraments of initiation, which are baptism, confirmation, and Holy Eucharist. We also happen to have the other sacraments available to us. I have holy orders. Cy has matrimony. Then there's the two sacraments of healing, confession and the anointing of the sick. So this is all part of the fullness of revealed truth through the three-legged stool of sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the magisterium. But there are some individuals who, through no fault of their own, will never get to know the truth, for example. Maybe Christianity is banned in their country, but God never holds us to be bound to more than what we're able to know, right? Now, that said, because we're gifted with the fullness of divine revelation, this doesn't mean that we Catholics sit on our laurels and not do anything because of this reality of invisible membership having the possibility of being saved. No, it makes us want to get off of our laurels and actually give the truth even more so that people can come to know the fullness of the truth. So Lumen Gentium, that in Latin, that means light of nations. It's the dogmatic constitution on the Church from the Second Vatican Council. You know, Pete, Vatican II put out 16 documents. Each one on a different topic. Well, Lumen Gentium, the Light of Nations document, is the dogmatic constitution on the Church, meaning it talks about the makeup of the Church, the ecclesiology of the Church, hence the invisible membership and the visible membership of the Church. So you want to look especially at paragraphs, or actually they're sections, they're not paragraphs, sections 12 through 14. And if you get a chance at your local parish, ask your pastor if you can look at the Roman Missal, or you can find it online at the USCCB website. The whole Roman Missal is on PDF document. You can go to the Good Friday Passion Service and see those beautiful 10 intercessions that we pray for different categories of persons, for those non-Christians, for Christians who are non-Catholic, for our Jewish brothers and sisters, et cetera. And it's a beautiful litany of those 10 intercessions. And that could serve as a meditation, for example, that next time you go visit the Blessed Sacrament and do a visit, whether our Lord's exposed or not exposed, the next time you visit the Blessed Sacrament, and that's a wonderful meditation. You're praying for all the categories of these individuals to be saved, to get to know the truth. So thank you so much, Pete. And I was just in Idaho preaching a men's conference there with Father Ray, he'd love it if he knew I called him Father, Dr. Ray Guarindi. And it was a great...
He's a father of 10.
He's a father of 10, you know. Yeah. But we had a great time there, 175 guys, and Dr. Ray and I tag-teamed and Friday through Sunday with those guys, and it was a great men's retreat. So thank you, Pete, for a great call, also a great witness question. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. We're going to John in Atlanta, Georgia now, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. John, thank you for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Father Wade Menezes.
Good evening. Thank you, Father Wade. I want you to know, first and foremost, that you've touched my life personally in my Catholic journey. in multiple ways, from your discussions about the sacred deposit of faith to your sermons on EWTN to your writings around the cardinal virtues versus the, you know, capital sins and their extensions thereof. Where I'm at today is I'm ruminating on some very basic concepts, some very core concepts, and one of those is in relation to Satan. All worldly things aside, and even in reviewing, you know, Catholic teaching and Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, the fundamental question that I have is: God, in His sentience, knew and beginning to end how things would play out, and knew that the fall would occur with regards to Satan. And Jesus even says, you know, he saw Lucifer fall from heaven like lightning. So my question is two-part. Why didn't, and maybe it's more your perspective, unless there's Catholic teachings out there, why didn't God dissipate or dissolve Satan and the fallen angels? Second part of it is, why did he allow them or send them, either way, to earth?
Okay, great question. Well, the angels were all made good, and they were given one choice to be for God or against God. Those who remained with God, the serviam angels, I will serve, remained with him in heaven and are our helpers on earth. The non-serviam, the I will not serve angels led by Lucifer, they became the fallen angels, i.e. the devils, the demons. But they're angels. They're fallen angels, but they are angels. And they become our tempters on earth, huh? The question that you ask in regards to the permissiveness of this disarray in a fallen world can only be answered in that God has made us the human being, the human person, who's the only creature made in his own image and likeness. The only answer is he has made us to be like gods, which Scripture says in the New Testament, and which the church fathers and even later saints like Thomas Aquinas in the 14th century make very clear. He has made us as though gods, and indeed, through sanctifying grace, we can actually partake in God's own sacred divine life through sanctifying grace, the ordinary channels of which are the seven sacraments. And breaking that down further, especially the two of the seven that can be received over and over and over again with much frequency, Eucharist and reconciliation. He's given us free will. You know, before the fall, we had an enlightened intellect and a strengthened will. But after the fall, we have the two chief effects, which is a darkened intellect and a weakened will. So the enlightened intellect became darkened. The strengthened will became weakened, and sin entered the picture. But he's given us free will to choose this good over this evil, this virtue over this vice, this thing for my betterment over this thing for my detriment. And only the human person has this capability. And indeed, the human person is the only creature made in God's image and likeness. You know, you go through the hierarchy of creation. There's no other creature in the created corporeal world that can make this claim that we're made in God's image and likeness. The gases in the airs, the rocks and the minerals, the vegetative plants, the brute animals like dogs and cats and horses and cattle, they all tell us something about God as creatures, but they're not made in God's image and likeness like the human person is. The human person alone is at the apex of creation, right? So again, like the brute animals, dogs and cats and horses and cattle, they're not made in God's image and likeness. They have a real canine instinctual awareness that seems to make them very smart. You know, dogs appear very smart, dolphins appear very smart, but they don't have free will. They're not called to partake in God's sanctifying grace. Now, I like to joke that I think cats think they're made in God's image and likeness, but they're not, okay? Si, maybe we can have a whole nother show just on cats sometime, okay?
And what I think. I'd like to avoid the controversial shows, Father. I don't want to get myself in trouble with anybody.
I'm kidding. All you cat lovers out there, I love cats. But no, to be serious here, you know, it's the truth. He's called us to be like gods, and that's the glory of our calling, our vocation.
Thanks, John. Father Wade Menezes is our guest. Father, would you mind giving us your blessing and our listeners your blessing before we go?
Not at all, Cy. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Catholic Answers Live listeners and remain with each and every one of you this day and always. Saint Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray Amen. For us. Pray for us. Thank you, Father. Catholic Answers Essential, A Guide to Understanding Key Church Teachings is the new book from Father Wade Menezes. You can get it from EWTN Press. You can get it anywhere good Catholic books are sold. Catholic Essentials, A Guide to Understanding Key Church Teachings. That'll do it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.